I love all the Christmas stories. I love the Christmas story in the scripture, but I love all the Christmas stories about the changed lives and what Christmas means. I guess other than, you know, the biblical story, my number one favorite is Scrooge. I love that. I absolutely love it. I have it on, I have every movie that was made from the earliest days in 1900, early 1900s when they first came out with movies to, well, no, I don't have the Jim Carrey one. But if anybody wants to get me that for Christmas, I don't have that one. I'm teasing. But I guess one of my second favorite would be something, thank you.
This is just in case.
Just in case you're a doll.
This is Julia's idea.
Julia, you're a doll. We're not going there.
Yeah, Joe.
You're an action figure.
There's one by Sidney William Porter, who you all probably know as O. Henry, called The Gift of the Magi. Now, the older people in the room are going, the younger people in the room are going, who? Not a clue. Let me tell you briefly this story. It's about a young couple named Jim and Della, and they're living in New York, and it's 1905. And Jim's company has been in trouble financially, and so they've had to cut back his salary from $30 a week to $20 a week. And after they pay their rent and their groceries, there's really just nothing left. But Della really, really wanted to get Jim a watch fob. For those of you who are young, that's the chain that goes on a pocket watch. And he had his grandfather and father's gold pocket watch. It was the only treasure that he had, but he had to just carry it down inside his pocket instead of hanging off of his vest because he didn't have the fob. Well, she had been working and trying to save, and she'd been scrimping and saving the little bit out of her grocery money, and she had, the day before Christmas, $1.87. And even in 1905, that was not going to buy a gold fob. So she wasn't sure what to do. She wanted him to have that so much. Well, the one thing that she did have was Della had the most beautiful, silky hair that went all the way down to her knees. And, you know, husbands are proud of pretty wives. Let's not, you know, it's okay. It's all right. Jim's proud of Peggy. Eddie's proud of Lynn. I'm not gonna go any further because I'm starting to get in trouble. But they had, you know, he loved her hair, but it's the only thing she had of any value. So the day before Christmas, she went to a wig maker and sold her hair. Cut it off to here. All that beautiful hair. And she went home and started to prepare. Well, she did find a pocket watch. It was $21, platinum for $21. She had 87 cents left and went home to fix dinner. And then she started to worry. What was Jim gonna think when he came home and found that she had a pixie cut instead of this long, beautiful hair? Well, Jim came in and did what you would expect. You know, the mouth dropped open, the eyes got big, and he didn't say anything, and she was so afraid. And, you know, she didn't want him to be upset, but she said, you know, it's all I had. And she gave him the watch fob. And he said, honey, I'm not angry with you. It's just I sold the pocket watch to buy you these combs for your hair. And he had bought her this beautiful pearl inlaid brush and comb and the little things that they used to stick in their hair to pin it up. And when I first read that as a child, I have to admit, the first thing I thought of was, okay, something ain't right. You know, they both spent everything they had and got nothing back. She couldn't use the combs and he couldn't use the watch fob. But the moral of the story, as O. Henry writes it is the most wise gift of all, because they gave what was most precious to the one they loved. Folks, at Christmas, God gave what was most precious to us. The most precious thing he had to give, his son. He gave us that wonderful little baby. You know, and we were talking before church started, excuse me, about, you know, our manger scene up here has it, you know, looking really pretty, but it wasn't pretty. It stank and it was messy and it was not a good thing. I don't know. Most of the ladies in here have had children, and you wouldn't have wanted to give birth in a stable. It is not this pleasant little scene. I am amazed that the maker of the universe would consent to come as an infant born in a stable and be like us. You know, we tend to think of Jesus, you know, other than the little story we have when he was 12 in the temple, we don't really know that much about Jesus' childhood. You know, we start when he was 30 and his public ministry began. But folks, Jesus played, you know, first century kickball. He skinned his knees. He had to learn how to walk. The God of the universe had to be potty trained. It is amazing to me that the one who created it all would do that for us. Now, if that's not love, what is? To give up everything to come here. But folks, that wasn't the end of it.
Would have been enough. I'm sorry, that would have just been enough that he would do that. But it's not where the story ends. He became a carpenter and lived a very ordinary life for 30 years. Can you imagine having all the power in the universe and not using it? How many of us could have restrained ourselves? But he didn't. And the day he began his public ministry, he didn't say, "Look at me, I'm wonderful." He said, "Look at the Father who loves you so much. Look at the Father. He's been trying to tell you about himself since the beginning of time, with creation, with the prophets, with the Torah. All of these things he's been trying to explain to you how much he loves you. And he couldn't get you to understand, so he sent me so you could look and see how much he loves you." So he taught about God's love. But even that wasn't enough. He healed the sick, raised the dead. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked. He showed God cares about everything. And God's power is here on this planet at work. But even that wasn't enough. He also went to the cross and took the punishment that we so richly deserved. The wages of sin is death. And God didn't want us to have to pay the price for what we had done. So Jesus took it for us. So not only was his beginning pretty messy, his ending was even messier. When he died on that cross, it was in agony. I love one of the songs, he could have called 10,000 angels. But he died alone for you and me. That amazes me. But it still wasn't enough. Talk about a gift that keeps on giving. Jesus then rose from the dead, conquered sin in the grave, and promised us eternal life. And not life like we've got it here. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. If I had to stay here in this mess forever, I'm not interested. I'm just not. But a perfect life with a perfect body that can breathe. I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? That still wasn't the end of the gift. Talk about the gift that keeps on giving. He sent his Holy Spirit to live and dwell not just around us, but inside us. He sent his Holy Spirit so that when we need guidance, all we have to do is calm our hearts and minds and listen. When we are afraid, he comforts. When we're sick, he heals. When everything seems to be a total mess, he shows up. The gift that keeps on giving. Folks, Christmas is a wonderful time. And I know that a lot of you are just, you know, going to be glad it's over. Let's be honest. It wears us out. What was it? Not last week, the week before. Y'all about partied me to death. I had a party every night. I was beginning to wonder what the neighbors thought. You know, that preacher ain't never home. But it was a wonderful time of celebration, but it wears you out. And usually by Christmas night, everybody just wants to go to bed. Take a nap. But Christmas is a time for us to be energized, people. It's a time for us to remember that gift that keeps on giving. The gift that we have every single day. Oh, my friends. I can't give you a lot of things I would like to. There's some of you out there that I would love. I'd love to give you, you know, these wonderful presents. There's some of you I would love to be able to kind of wave my hand and give you health. There's some of you out there with broken hearts that I wish that it could just be over. I don't have that power. But praise God Almighty, he does. He has the power and he has the want to. But you have to let him. You have to say, all right, I accept this never-ending gift. I accept it. And that does not mean that you will never, ever, ever have anything else go bad in your life. Anybody that tells you that is selling something. Because we don't have an easy life on this planet. But that's okay. Because that which makes us struggle makes us strong. And God doesn't want a weak little army. He wants a strong group of believers out there making disciples and spreading the good news. We're going to have a special service Sunday week. Next Sunday, Robert is going to preach because I will be at Hattie's. Excuse me. But the next week, we're going to talk about what it takes to live this life, this new eternal life, and how to have the best year you've ever had. You interested in that? Would you like to have like the best year ever? Okay. Well, then you need to be here. You need to bring some folk. And before you think I'm writing a check I can't cash, folks, I'm not the one giving it to you. He is. The best year ever is coming. And this is what I need for you to do. Right before that sermon, we need to take, we got 400 and something Bibles that we need to deliver in this community that invites people to this sermon series. I'm asking you right now, I didn't give you any warning, get over it. I want to ask you, are you willing to help distribute those Bibles? Let me see hands. Thank you. I will count on it. I know some of you can't. That's okay. I got enough hands that we can deliver those Bibles in an afternoon. Let's change the world. Let's make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Let's offer people the gift that keeps on giving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.